This morning's reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, beginning at verse 18. Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "The Christ of God." Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life." Then he said to them all, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Lord, we thank you for your word that it has been given to us to instruct us and lead us in wisdom and truth. And we pray for David now as he brings that word to us, that you will speak through him by your Holy Spirit into our hearts and lives. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. The first part of our reading is where Jesus asked his disciples two important questions. First, who do the crowds say that I am? There are a number of different answers as to who Jesus was. Some people say that Jesus was John the Baptizer. Others thought that Jesus was Elijah. And yet others thought he was some other prophet of old. Here, Luke is drawing out the point that the understanding of the crowds concerning Jesus is incomplete. The crowds do not fully understand who Jesus is. Then Luke addresses the second and more important question. Who do you say that I am? It does not matter what everyone else says about Jesus. Who do you say Jesus is? And what is your belief in him? The question is just as critical today as it was at this moment when Jesus asked his disciples. The world has all sorts of thoughts about who Jesus is. The critical question is, do you know who Jesus is? Jesus asked this question of all his disciples. Peter answers this question on behalf of all the 12. Jesus is the Christ of God. Christ is not a last name. Too often Jesus Christ is used as if this was his first and last name. Christ is a title. Christ is the equivalent of Messiah in Hebrew. Christ means anointed. He is the anointed king, anointed by the Father to rule and bring deliverance, restoration, and salvation. And then we have in verses 21 and 22, Jesus predicts his own death and resurrection. Jesus wants his disciples to know that his kingship and messiahship are not going to go like they think. Jesus is here predicting how things are going to go. It is necessary for him to suffer, be killed, and be raised for him to be the Messiah that we need, a Saviour who delivers us from our sins. Jesus was not going to walk the path of popularity and glory, but of rejection and humiliation. Jesus' road to glory as King and Messiah must go through the cross. And then we read in verses 23 to 27 that Jesus announced the requirements of following him. To follow Jesus, one must deny themselves and take up their cross daily. This imagery is absolutely jarring and shocking. The first statement is to deny yourself. To follow Jesus means that we cannot live for ourselves any longer. We can no longer live for self, obeying our passions. We must live for Jesus now. Our life must no longer be about what I want to do, but what Jesus wants me to do. Denial of self is the opposite message of the world. The world tells us to indulge ourselves, live for self and to please ourselves. The world says to do what makes you feel good. If you truly want to follow Jesus, you will not please yourself first. Following Jesus means embracing a life of self-denial. In fact, there is no part of the Christian life that does not require self-denial. Next, we are told to take up the cross. Condemned criminals carried one bar of the cross to the place of their execution. Carrying the cross was a one-way journey. The person carrying the cross would not come back down that path. They were going to their death. We are not living for self. We are killing self. The cross intensifies the imagery for us. Jesus' point is clear. If we are still living for self, then we are not his disciple. If we are not Christians, even if we think we are, we are lost in our sins. Discipleship is difficult and involves suffering and sacrifice. The cost of following Jesus is giving up all of ourselves for him. Jesus is calling for a deep commitment to follow him. Unfortunately, we want to follow Jesus with as little inconvenience as possible. We want to follow Jesus as long as he goes where we want to go. Instead of giving up the life we had, we try to find a way to add Jesus to our current life. This is not discipleship, and it is not the commitment that Jesus is calling for from his followers. Jesus is not following you. You are not doing what you want, and Jesus will follow you wherever you go, simply because you have been baptized, pray or attend worship. You are called to follow him. The call to follow him is a call of full commitment. We are laying ourselves on the altar of obedience. We will go where he leads, regardless of how uncomfortable, how painful, or how hard it is. Then Jesus digs even deeper. The reason we need to give our lives completely to Jesus now is because if we do not, what guarantee will we have that we will not lose our eternal souls? We try to save our lives by pursuing careers, working so hard that there is little time for God. We try to save our lives by organising our lives round entertainment. We do things that we enjoy, getting what we want out of life. We are not willing to make any cost involvement in God's kingdom. We are unwilling to open our hearts to show a love for Jesus. We keep to ourselves, showing little or no care for the things of God. Jesus warns us that we are in danger of losing our lives the way we are living. So, which life will you or I decide to lose? Jesus teaches an important truth. You are going to lose one life. You will either lose your life now, but gain eternal life in the age to come. The incorrect advice of our day is to tell people who are seeking God that you can have all the best of this world now. You can have your best life now. You can fulfill all your desires and wants now. But this teaching is directly opposed to what Jesus taught. Jesus said, you must lose your life now if you want to follow Jesus and have life in the age to come. We lose our lives in this world when we give ourselves completely to Jesus. We lose our lives when we live for Christ and through Christ live for others and not ourselves. What good are we doing if we gain everything this world has to offer and lose our eternal souls? What will have been the point? What does it matter if we get all we want in this life, only to be uncertain of our final destination? Funerals remind us of this truth. What will happen to us when we die? We live so focused on life here that we forget that we will give an account for what we have done. Are we following Jesus the way he demands, or are we being lazy with our Lord? You cannot add Jesus to our lives and think we are followers of Jesus. What is the point of living for the things of this world when we know that we are going to die and none of it will matter? Are we so ashamed of Jesus that we will not read God's holy word in a public place for fear of what others will think? Are we still reluctant to mention to people that our joy and happiness comes from knowing the Lord? Why are we so afraid of saying and showing that we love Jesus? Why are we so ashamed of being Christian? Rather than dedicating ourselves to the Lord and taking up the cross, we try to fit in with the world. Jesus says that whoever is ashamed of him, then when he comes in glory, he will be ashamed of us. So what will he think if we do not get this cross on our backs and follow Jesus? We must stop looking at the cross and pretend to be a Christian. It is time to pick up the cross and follow him completely. And then notice that the cross must be picked up daily. We do not pick it up at our baptism and then set the cross back down the next day, the next month, the next year, or any time after that. Every day we need to remind ourselves that the first thing we must do today is put to death ourselves and live for Jesus. Jesus declared that he would suffer, be rejected, and be killed. Then Jesus said, if you want to follow him, you must walk down the same path. Deny yourselves, pick up that cross every day, and follow him. These are hard and difficult words, but so is the path of a Christian. Then finally, in the last verse, Jesus says that some there will see the kingdom of God before they die. Some people maintain that Jesus was looking forward to his return in glory, that he was declaring that this would happen within the life of some of those present. What he was saying is this: before this generation has passed away, you will see signs that the kingdom of God is on the way. And beyond a doubt, that came to pass. Something came into the world which, like Lebanon and dough, began to change it. It would be well if sometimes we turn from our pessimism and thought rather of the light that has been slowly breaking on the world. So let us all be of good cheer. The kingdom is on the way, and we do well to thank God for every sign of its dawning. And a short prayer to finish. Teach us how to keep Jesus in our sights and give us the courage to follow him. Strengthen us to resist the diversions that so easily attract us. Help us to listen hard for the voice that will remind us who Jesus is and who we are too.